But I did recently move out and get my own place, and I've got a boyfriend at the moment, and sometimes he's there and sometimes he's not. And to be honest, I prefer it when he's not. Sex is a lot quicker. Because I don't bother with foreplay. And if ever I miss him, I just do a big loud fart, and it's like he was there. You know, one of those farts when you're lying in bed and it sort of hits you in the face. It's like a big wave of warmth. Like you've just stepped off an aeroplane in a really hot country. Albeit a country that smells of shit. But I have noticed that whenever he comes around, he does need a lot of attention. He basically needs a shit, a shower, sex and sandwiches. It's like having a bloody Tamagotchi. Oh, look, it's died. But even though I'm in a relationship, I still consider myself to be quite sort of independent. And I found come Valentine's Day that cards don't really reflect that. They're all one extreme or the other. They're all either sex buddy or soulmate. There's nothing in between, is there? So it's like, where are the cards for the practical woman in love? Something that says, I love you, we're having a nice time, but if we're split up, I'll probably be okay. Just wondered if you could apply the same to get well soon cards. Get well soon, but if it's terminal, I hope you go in your sleep. But I was talking to my mum about the kind of thing that she used to write in Valentine's Day cards to my dad, like 40 years ago when they first started courting, and showed me this poem that she used to write, and it goes like this. I love you, I love you, I love you almighty. I wish your pyjamas were next to my nightie. Oh. Don't be mistaken, don't be misled. I mean on the clothesline and not in the bed. Isn't that lovely? And I thought you could use that today though, couldn't you? Just flip the last two. I mean in the bed and not on the clothesline. I'll shag you, but I'm not doing your washing. But I am getting on a bit in age. I'm in my 30s now. Any women in your 30s in? Give us a cheer. Quite a few of you, excellent. Because when I was turning 30, I was worried about turning 30. It's quite a normal thing. So I asked a few friends who were also approaching their 30th birthday how they thought it was going to affect them. One guy said it means I'm closer to retirement, which I thought was a good positive way of looking at it. But my favourite answer came from a bloke who said, I just need to make it a 34 and I've beaten Jesus at living. But I've got a boyfriend at the moment and it's going really well, but I don't really believe in forever. I don't believe in, you know, when people say I'm going to love you forever. I don't like it when songs say I'm going to love you forever. No, you're not. You're going to love us for a little while and then you're going to leave us and you don't really know why. Sorry. I'm fine. But I did read it quite a sad... Honestly, I'm fine. He was an arse. And... But this boyfriend I've got is lovely. But I did read a story recently about an old... It was quite a sad story about an old couple in their 80s who'd been together for, like, 60 years. And it said in the story that the old lady had died and a fortnight later, the old man had died. And it said in the article that he died of a broken heart. He died of a broken heart. No, he hadn't. It's not a medical condition, is it? I think I figured it out. If she died and a fortnight later he died, it's just because he can't cook. I think a bloke of that era wouldn't feel very comfortable sort of asking for help either, would he? Hello, hot point. I've looked in the oven and there doesn't seem to be any tea in there. But I went to a friend of mine's recently. She said, come round and I'll cook all your favourite food. And I thought, what a lovely thing to do for somebody. So, of course, I went round and we had a lovely time. She cooked all my favourite food as promised. And then about 3 hours later, we're sitting on the sofa and out of nowhere, she just went, I don't think my lady parts look like other girls' lady parts. What am I supposed to do with that? I realised then that the whole night had been a ploy. Favourite food's my arse. Come and look at me, Fanny. Oh. I said, I'm not looking at it. I'm not looking at it. but if you draw it on a bit of paper, I'll have a look at that. So she drew it on a bit of paper and I drew mine as well, and they were quite similar, so she was happier. She said mine was tidier. I don't really know what that means, but I know I definitely don't want to look at hers now that I know that it's messy. But it could have been worse than drawing on a bit of paper, couldn't it? We could have just put some paint on and done a potato print. But I have developed a new hobby. Some of you probably already do this. I've started listening into people's conversations on the bus and the train. It's quite entertaining. And I was listening not long ago to two old ladies, and they were talking about what they would do if they were men for a day. And I thought, this is going to be brilliant, because pensioners are, by definition, bonkers. But I went out to lunch with a couple of my friends, and I thought, well, I'll ask them the same question. So my first friend, I said, what would you do if you were man for a day? Without even thinking, she just went, I'd have a wank. Sounded like she needed to. She sounded awfully tense. But these old ladies, different generation to me and my friends, in their 80s, and one of them just said, Edith, what would you do if you're a man for a day? The other one said, no, in my luck, I'd get a Tuesday. And what can you do on a Tuesday? My second friend, I said, what would you do if you're man for a day? She just said, I just do everything. And I thought she meant like in a sexual way. And I said, is that what you mean? Like you just do everything. And I said, is that what you mean? She went, no, no. Just all the little jobs round the house. But I've been trying to go on a diet. I'm not really very successful. But I find that whenever I go shopping and I can't get into things, you know, when you try clothes on and you're the size you weren't expecting to be, I just come home and I put on a song, and the song is Big Girls Don't Cry. You know the song? There's a couple of versions of it. Big girls don't cry. Such a load of rubbish that, isn't it? Big girls don't cry. Yeah, they do. Cry because they're fat, cry because they can't get a boyfriend, and they cry because there's no trifle left. But I was on holiday in Spain last year, and I'm bragging, I know, and outside the hotel was a lovely pool, and I wanted to go in the pool, of course I did, but I'm not overly confident with my figure in a swimming costume, and I was watching the women who were walking in the pool, and these were like tiny, you know, these wafer thin, tiny women. And I thought, I'm not going to walk in with one of them. If I walk in with one of them, people are going to think I've bloody eaten one. And I wouldn't anyway, because there's no meat on them. So what I decided to do instead is just to walk in with the children, because kids are all really fat these days. If I walk in the same time as a 9-year-old boy who's got bigger tits than me, nobody's looking at me anymore. But like I say, I don't have kids, and most of my friends don't have kids, but I think if you ask any woman who doesn't have kids, what would worry them about having kids would always be childbirth. It's quite a reasonable thing to worry about childbirth. From what I understand, it changes your downstairs, doesn't it? It changes your downstairs. I quite like my downstairs the way it is, thanks very much. Certainly don't want a bloody extension. But it's bound to change though, isn't it? Because you're forcing a person out. That's what you're doing. You're forcing a person out. I've never forced a person out. I forced a couple in. With a shoehorn. No, it was just me thumb. You've been an absolute delight of an audience. Let me leave you one. Oh! Final thing, most generous of you, thank you very much. Let me leave you on one final thing. Somebody recently noticed I have developed something of a cake shelf. It's bigger than a muffin top, so I call it my cake shelf. Call it my cake shelf because that's where I keep my cake. Somebody said to me recently, are you pregnant? I said, only if I've been shagged by Mr. Kipling. Thank you very much for coming out tonight, and welcome to Live at the Apollo! It was lovely the way I was introduced there. It's really nice to be introduced. It's a really nice thing to get used to in a new job when somebody says your name and people clap and cheer. It's lovely. It was a little bit weird at the doctor's the other day. Nobody clapped. Every time I said clap, I think they thought that's what I had. Decided in January. I think a lot of people do this in January. I decided in January to try it to sort of better myself. I'm not really bothered about losing weight, but I quite like the idea of getting fit, so I thought I'd get myself an exercise DVD. Now, you know when your partner goes shopping and they say, do you want anything? And you're supposed to say no, but instead you give them a list. I love doing that. Sometimes I just make shit up I don't even need just to see his face. And he looks at the list and he goes, what's the difference between a tangerine and a satsuma? Ha ha, it's a test. I said to him, could you get us an exercise DVD? That's what I thought I'd do. I get an exercise DVD. I said, just like a bog standard, like a beginner's guide, a very basic exercise DVD. And he said, no problem. He came home with Davina's Buff Your Abs. I'm going to have to lose 3 stone before I can find me bloody abs. So I took it back and I swapped it for the one that I wanted, which was, you know, just fat lass has a go, you know. Other sequel, Fat Lass Tries Again. And I watched the first few minutes, and you know how it's always a celebrity and a trainer, isn't it? Because a celebrity sells the DVDs and the trainer knows what they're doing. And in the first few minutes, they were both laughing at nothing. It was very unnerving. And the trainer said to the celebrity, why don't you tell the viewers at home what weight you were when you started this regime? The celebrity went, when I started this regime, I was 10 stone. I realised then that I'm aiming for a start weight. But I like to eat. Is that so bad? I like to eat. Sometimes I think I've got a tapeworm, but that it's just full. But I'm trying to eat more healthily. I had an apple the other day. Thank you. Put it in my handbag on an optimistic Monday. And by the Thursday, there weren't any Kit Kats left. And I was starving. I thought, I'm going to have to find it. So I looked around in my handbag. And I found it. It was prematurely bruised and battered. It had pen on it. But I was starving, so I peeled off the clean panty liner and I ate it. Something I'd had years ago that I liked, and I was like, what does it remind me of? I can't remember. Toffee apples. I know we've got some recognisable faces in. We've got Olympic medalist Colin Jackson in. Hello, love. So, Colin Jackson, it's all right for you. You've got like a safety net, because if things ever get tight, sort of money wise, you can just head off with your medals to Cash for Gold, can't you? And we've got lovely Alex and Matt from The One Show. You guys are on Twitter. You're both on Twitter, aren't you? I like Twitter. Give us a cheer if you're on Twitter. Loads of you. I like it, but it can sometimes be a little bit weird, can't it? I got a message from a fella a few weeks ago, and he said, I've got a bit of spare time on me hands, and I don't know whether to watch some porn or you. He's in! That struck me as being a little bit odd, because I don't know much about porn, but from what I can gather, it's sort of fantasy, isn't it? It's supposed to be unachievable things, you know, like having sex with two women at the same time, you know, or one. It's fine. It's fine, it's fine. But I put myself firmly in the bracket of achievable. By that laughter, so do you. You shit! So that man's fantasy is a middle-aged, slightly overweight woman who witters on. Just wander around Asda, there's hundreds of me. Look along the end of your sofa, you might well be bloody married to one of me. But I live alone. Give us a cheer if you live alone. You sound very happy about it. Well done. See, I live alone. Something you might not know, the people who live on their own, is that you can still have breakfast in bed if you live on your own. Listen up, bitches. If I want breakfast in bed, what I do before I go to bed is I put a Twix on the bedside cabinet. And then when I wake up the next day, as my eyes are focusing, I think, there's a bloody Twix just there. But sometimes there's just a wrapper. I've obviously got up for a wee in the night and gone, ah. Either that or the tooth fairy's moved over to the dark side. But in a relationship in the moment, give us a cheer, all the couples in. I've been with my fella now for 4 years. The only time we ever have problems is when it comes to present giving time, Christmases, birthdays, that sort of thing. Because my boyfriend likes to buy me surprises, and I really don't like surprises. Anybody else just really like surprises? A few of you. See, what we've done is we've got happy medium now, is I give him a list of pre-approved surprises. 5 or 6 things, he's allowed to pick one. I don't know which one it is, so it's still technically a surprise. It was my birthday at the end of May, and he came home a few days before my birthday, and he said, never guess what I've just done. I said, what have you just done? He said, I've gone off list. He said, I'm not even sure if you're going to like it. I said, why the hell did you buy it then? I mean, thank you. A friend of mine who doesn't really know us very well, she said, oh, that sounds like an engagement ring to me. I said, no, it sounds like kaplunk. Because a couple of years ago, I had really bad flu. You know, if you've got really bad flu that you can't get out of bed and you just feel terrible. My boyfriend said, I'm going to go and get a present to cheer you up. Now, I'm quite easy to cheer up. I like flowers, I like chocolates, I'm a walking cliche. My favourite flowers are daffodils, which were in season at the time and were everywhere in buckets for £1. Chocolate-wise, I'm quite happy with a Twix or a Twirl. She told me £1.60 and I'm champion. He chose to disregard that relevant information and came home with something that he thought was entirely appropriate, which was a Mr. Potato Head. Still don't really know why. But ironically, when I opened the box, I wanted to rearrange his bloody face. But you know, when you've been together a few years, obviously you get to know each other a bit better. And there are new things that pop up about each other that turn you on, each other on, and you don't know this. These new things can pop up about each other that turn you on, and they can pop up to the most unusual of places. We were having a carvery. I love a carvery. And with his pudding, he got a jug of custard. And he poured the custard onto his pudding. And then he licked the spout of the custard jug, and I was genuinely aroused. I just leaned over to him and I went, get in the car. Bring the custard. Late developer, always have been. Like, you know when you first find out about sex, about the birds and the bees? Give us a cheer if you found out via your family. Yeah. Few of you. And what about if you found out via friends? Yeah. So quite a lot of you unaccounted for. Do you just not know? I had a book. My mum bought me a book and I've still got it now. It's a book by Claire Rayner and it's got all of the parts of the body. It describes puberty. And in it, they call... Yeah, vagina. They call it a baby-making hole. Now, I don't have babies, and I don't have any plans to have babies, so I kind of call mine that, can I? So I call mine my cock cheerer opera. I've always been quite cautious by nature, always have been. I've got a friend who's got what I call a very dangerous lifestyle. He thinks it's exciting, but I think it's dangerous. To me, exciting is when you start a new tea towel. Love it, love it. It's all been folded in the cupboard. Oh, no, just me. But my friend has a very dangerous lifestyle. He's quite open about his sexual exploits. He said to me, have you ever had sex on a kitchen sink? I've had sex on a kitchen sink. And I said, no. And I got home and I thought, am I a prude? I don't think I am, but maybe I am. So I said to my boyfriend, would you like to have sex on a kitchen sink? I get the impression it's supposed to be a bit more in the moment, isn't it? Rather than just, when you've done those dishes, get your arse on there. And he said, why would I want to have sex in a kitchen sink? That would be like eating your dinner out of a shoe. And my friend said, have you ever had sex on a plane? He said, I've had sex on a plane. And I said, no. And he said, that's dangerous. That's exciting. I said, well, I suppose it is, but I think having a massive shit with a queue outside on a plane is more dangerous. And I've definitely done that. And from the clapping, I can tell I'm not the only one. We're all members of the Pile High Club. Show, how are you? Are you well?
Yes!
Excellent, good work. It's lovely to be here. It's a nice temperature in here, isn't it? It will get warmer as we go on. I respond in quite a peculiar way to the heat, I think, mostly sort of here. Down there gets what I would call claggy. What would you call it?
Moist. Moist is a good one.
And I did a show in Preston, a man shouted out, no, no, we call that ready. And I had a lady say, what you've got there is LDF. I said, what does LDF stand for? She said, long day, Fanny. But what I do when it gets moist, so just do a little plie. A belly dancer, but if I was a belly dancer, I'd clearly be a massive one. You only get a couple of seconds relief because it mostly just slicks back together. I did a show in Edinburgh and a lady right at the back shouted out, you need to use some talc. Surely that just forms a paste. I do have, I've got a good relationship with me mum. You know, sometimes in comedy you laugh at things because it's familiar, because it's a shared experience. Sometimes you laugh because you're just glad you're not me. See if this has happened to anybody else. Whenever I'm on the phone to me mum, it always makes me need a poo. Give us a woo if that's happened to you. I've looked into it, it's a closeness issue. It means that me and those people who wooed, we love our mums more than the rest of you lot love yours. I love my mum so much it makes me shit. Try getting that on a balloon for Mother's Day. Thank God for Moon Pig. But I bought a house quite recently. I wanted to buy a house because I'd lived in flats for 16 years and I really missed going upstairs to bed. Not through the kitchen, upstairs to bed. But I was sitting only a few months later upstairs in bed, quite smugly, just thinking, this is the life, I've arrived, I'm upstairs in bed. And then I thought, oh no, now I've got to go downstairs for food. what I really wanted, like, my parents have both always lived near a park, and I'd always been able to see a tree out of my bedroom window, so that became a priority when I was house hunting. I wanted to be able to see a tree out of my bedroom window. But it became very clear that I'm not massively suited to country living, having lived in the city centre for so long. I drove along a lovely country lane, and I saw a white marquee tent. And instead of thinking, oh, somebody's having a lovely summer party, I just thought, oh, someone's been murdered. That I liked, and I got a survey done. The survey came back and it meant nothing to me at all, but luckily I've got a friend who's a builder, and he said, let me have a look at it, and I put it into layman's terms. I said, smashing. And it gives a cheer if you own your own home.
Yes.
Gives a cheer if you rent.
Yes.
See, up to this point I'd only ever rented, and I think there are phrases that mean nothing to those of us who rent that the rest of you understand, because my friend the builder said, there is one thing you will need. I said, oh yeah, what's that? He said, you'll need a damp-proof course. And I genuinely said, I haven't got time to go to college. But one of the things the house that I bought did have is a log burner. I've never had a log burner before. I got quite excited by the log burner. Not as excited as my fella did. He went, oh my God, we'll be able to get a toasting fork. We'll be able to toast things. And I thought, he does know I've got a toaster, doesn't he? But he went off to work. I went straight out and bought a toasting fork. I was too excited. I came back in with it. I grabbed a loaf of bread and I thought, I'm just going to sit in front and work my way through. Bloody love toast. Couldn't get it to work. I rang him and I said, I can't get it to work. He said, how can it not work? It's fire and bread. How can it not work? So I told him what I'd been doing. Turns out I should have had the little door open. I might as well have been lying slices of bread on top of my radiator. But when I moved, I had bits and bobs of furniture. Not much, but I had some stuff, and I was trying to work out what would best go where. And I said to me fella, God, I wish I had a tape measure. He said, what do you need a tape measure for? I said, I just want to know if that unit will fit in that alcove. He said, well, I'll sort that out for you. I said, have you got a tape measure? He said, no, it's just, I'm good at that sort of thing. I said, what do you mean? He says, it's just an instinct I've got. And first of all, I thought, rubbish. And then I thought, let's have a look. And I thought, this is quite a manly thing to be able to do. If he can do this, maybe we'll see what else slots where. So I said, go on, then do it. And this is what he did. It went exactly like this. And done 6 inches, 6 inches, 6 inches, 6 inches. But you know, when you first move into somewhere that's new to you, you want to make a few changes, don't you? So it feels a bit more like yours. One of the things I really wanted, like, my parents are both disabled and both getting on a bit in age, and something that I thought would be really useful for when they stayed would be a grab rail in the shower. So I thought, I won't really notice it when I'm in the shower, but how useful that'll be when they visit. So I got a grab rail fitted in the shower. And like a month later, I had a friend round visiting. I was showing her around and I said, oh, look, I've had a grab rail fitted in the shower. And she went like this. Ooh, saucy. I said, I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm trying to keep pensioners upright. I told my dad because I thought he'd find it funny, and he went, nah,
for that sort of business, you need two of them.
Oh. But I've got two cats. Have I got cat owners in?
Yeah.
I've got two cats. I don't know if you've ever tried to litter train a cat. It's normally quite straightforward. Whenever they look like they're about to do something, you pick them up, you plonk them in the litter tray, you hope for the best. But our first cat, Chief Brody, named after the police chief in the film Jaws, he didn't cotton on for a while, kept having it laxed in, poor bugger. And at one point, my fella and I were standing over the litter tray, just looking at it and looking at each other going, is there anything we can be doing to help him that we're not already doing? And my fella, because he's so lovely, he looked down at the litter tray and he went, do you want me to do a shit in it to start him off? No, I really don't. It would be end to end. And the cat would be like, who the hell lives here? Aslan. But I was in a cafe a few months ago with a friend of mine. She's the sort of person who prefers savoury over sweet. I don't really know why we're still friends, but she's nice enough. She ordered a carrot cake, and I always think carrot cake is such an abomination of a cake. It's got veg in it. Shut up. What you've got there is a rubbish pasty. She ordered carrot cake, I ordered a slice of strawberry cheesecake. On top of her carrot cake was some icing and then a slither of something orange-coloured for decoration, I suppose. I said to her, is that a little bit of carrot? Fair assumption, it being carrot cake. She had a nibble of it and she said, no, it's not carrot. I said, is it orange then? She said, no, it's not orange. So, well, I'm all out of orange-coloured things. Unless it's the tail of a goldfish, I've got no idea. She had another nibble of it, and she said, I think it's apricot. I said, I can't have apricot. She said, why not? I said, I'm allergic to it. And she went, ooh, what happens to you? And I went, ooh, I get the shits. She said, is it really bad? I said, oh, yeah, it was like a chocolate fountain down there. She said, was that just off one? I said, no, I had a bag of them. She said, how many was in the bag? I said, I don't know, maybe 40. It was only then that I realised I'm not allergic to apricots. I'm allergic to 40 apricots. But I stopped buying women's magazines a few months ago. Just feels like there's nothing in there for me. Nothing in there for me. Why would I buy anything where the only time I ever see anybody who looks a bit like me is underneath the word before? There's a huge list of all the things that we as women are supposed to do to ourselves. Cleanse, tone and moisturise. I've never toned. I'm nearly 40. I've never toned and my skin is still on my face, so it's obviously rubbish. But hair removal is a whole subject all on its own, isn't it? There's so many different ways, especially as women, that we can remove our hair. You can wax, you can shave, you can pluck, you can epilate. My sister had laser treatment to her underarms, laser treatment. And it was quite painful and quite expensive. And after 2 months, the whole lot just grew back in. Which is terrible, but does go some way to explaining why James Bond was always so nonchalant when a laser was aimed at his cock and balls.
Your champion man will grow back in a couple of months.
Please make James Bond a Geordie. I can only apologise for that. His soul would never be a Geordie, would he?
Shaken, not stored.
No. My friend said to me, you know why women are supposed to have hair down there, don't you? And I said, is it like your nose, so you don't get muck up it? She said, no. She said, women are supposed to have hair down there so that nature knows where your reproductive bits are. I said, why does nature need to know? Surely as long as me fella's got a rough idea, why do all the deers and the rabbits need to know? Well, maybe the rabbits. But according to women's magazines, there are only two options for hair down there for women. The options are all off or most off. Gives a cheer if you think all off is the way to go. Gives a cheer if you think most off is the way to go. Still quite a lot of you left, isn't there? I can only assume that the rest of you are like me. I just try to keep it in me pants. Even if sometimes that involves tucking it in. In the legs, not in the top. My fella and I were both going out to work a few weeks ago at the same time, both fully dressed, just getting last minute bits and bobs together. And he was sitting at the kitchen table putting his shoes on. And I don't know why, but as I walked past him, I did a boob jiggle in his face. I don't know why, just one of those like that. I don't know why, he was at the right height. It felt like a wasted opportunity if I didn't do it. And I thought he'd do that thing, you know, when they go like that, in between. It's got a special name. Does anybody know the name? Waterboarding. Thank you, because I always accidentally call it waterboarding. It's only waterboarding if they're really sweaty. That's what I thought he'd do. I thought he'd do that, like that. He didn't. You know what he did? He just stood up and did a boob jiggle back. Now, it's a thing that we do, and I don't know how to stop it. But we've lived together for about a year and a half now, and when I lived on my own, I really loved it, don't get me wrong. But one of the things I love about living with somebody else again is I like the unpredictability of it. I like that every now and again, a sentence will come out that I would never have said. The most recent one, out of nowhere, he just went, your shed's no good to have a wank in. And I said, that's because it's a greenhouse, love. But I'm getting on a bit, I'm nearly 40. It doesn't worry me, I'm not worried at all about getting older. I know that there are problems along the way. I know that it's not going to be easy. One of my friends, one of my good friends, is 62, and she said to me, there's something I need to tell you. I said, oh, that sounds really serious. Is it serious? She said, well, I just don't want it to come as much of a surprise to you as it did to me. I said, okay, well, you better tell me what it is then. She said, when you get to my age, down there, instead of it being a lovely, healthy pink colour, I could have walked away right then and there. Instead of it being a lovely, healthy pink colour, it's more of a slate grey. It's the detail that I love. She didn't say grey, she said slate grey. And she's had the Dulux colour chart out at it.
Here, Terry, help us with this. Would you say that was thunder or slate?
I was so horrified by what I just learnt that I blurted out, you mean like when meat's on the turn?
Does that smell all right to you?
Be a few handbag mirrors coming out tonight on the way home, I reckon. I've been with my fella now for nearly 10 years, but you know when you first get together with somebody, the first 6 months, especially if you have an inkling it might be a long-term thing, and those first 6 months together are just glorious, aren't they? And you think each other are perfect. And then after 6 months, you think, well, perfect's pushing it a bit. There's a couple of things I could do with changing. Then you've got a project. Isn't it lovely having a project? A project. There's only one thing I'd like to change about my fella. I need to tell you this first. I love waving. I don't know why. I've always loved waving. I love it when I wave, and I love it when people wave back to me. I'm going to wave to you now and see how many of you wave back. Oh, loads of you are. Thank you very much. It makes me really happy. And it's one of the main reasons I learned to drive. My fella doesn't wave, doesn't occur to him in the slightest. And when we first got together, he dropped me off at the train station one day, and I got out the car, and I said, I'll see you on Monday. He said, yeah, but I'll give you a ring when I get in tonight. I said, smashing. And then I just checked that I was at the right entrance for the train station for my particular platform, and I turned to give him a little wave goodbye, and the car was already in the distance. A few years later, I was going to Australia for the first time. I was travelling alone. I was going to be away for 6 weeks. I was very nervous, understandably. He dropped me off at the airport. He helped me out of the boat. With my case, sorry, that's bad. With my case. And I said, I'm going to miss you. And he said, I'm going to miss you too, but he said, you're going to have an amazing time. We can Skype whenever you like, and I'll come and get you in 6 weeks on this very spot. Melt. And I checked my handbag to make sure I had my passport and my ticket. And then I turned to give him a little wave goodbye, and I could not see the car. He was already on the motorway. So I said to him only a few weeks ago, you know the waving thing? He said, oh, did I forget to do it again? I'm sorry. I said, don't worry about it. But I said, you know how much I love it? He said, yes, I know how much you love to wave. I said, I was just wondering if there was like a bargaining thing we could do. He said, I don't know what you mean. I said, well, for example, is there anything I don't do that you'd like me to start doing? Turns out I'm not as bothered about waving as I thought. Oh, Christmas. Christmas is a lovely time for families, isn't it? I took my mum shopping. My mum's in a wheelchair. We went into a department store. I went to the disabled toilet within the department store. And my mum did a wee, and I thought, well, I'm in, I'll have a quick wee as well. But I knew I needed to fart at the same time. The toilet was on a very busy thoroughfare, a lot of people going past that door. So I said to my mum, I said, do us a favour, mum. She said, what? I said, clap. I don't know why I said that. I thought the noise would drown it out. Of course, I am very comfortable with applause. This is my job, after all. So she did, she went like this. She did one. I said, how good do you think your timing is, mum? When she clapped, the lights went off. But luckily, I did a big loud fart and they came back on again. I've got one sister, it's just the two of us. My sister is 6 years older than me. When she was a teenager, she used to talk very slang, very Geordie slang, and my mum didn't like it, so my mum would correct her. And me being the little shitty sister, I would help. So if my sister said, I'm gone out, my mum would correct her and say, I'm going out. My sister would have to repeat, I'm going out, before she was allowed to go out. And I'd just be standing beside them both saying, I'm going out, like the arsehole that I was. This time my sister was really ill, she had a really bad finger. She went to hospital with my mum. They came back in from A&E. And I said to my sister, what's the matter with your finger then? And she said, oh, they said it's gangrene. And I genuinely said, going green? Like, I probably thought a medical doctor had gone, that's gangrene, then it's gonna gangrene, then it's gonna fall off. Got a little dog, he's adorable. He's a rescue dog, he's very sweet. He does bark at all other dogs. That's the one problem we have with him. We will bark at all other dogs. But I just use the fact that he's a rescue if that comes up. So say I'm out walking him and he barks at another dog. The other owner will look at me like, control your dog. And I'll just turn to her and I'll say, I'm really sorry, but he's a rescue. And then she'll turn to me and she'll say, I'm so sorry for what he's been through. Died and we got him. That's what he's been through. You can't do that with blokes, can you? A bloke's fighting in a pub, you can't go, I'm really sorry, but he's a rescue. I found him once down Debenhams on his own. And we checked and he's not married because he hasn't been chipped. The dog hurt his paw a few months ago. Hurt his paw, so I rang the vet. It was out of hours, so I got straight through to the vet herself. She said, what's the problem? I said, the dog's hurt his paw. She said, which paw? And I said, it's his left hand. She said, his what? I said, his left hand. She said, you mean his foreleg? I said, I don't know. I didn't go to university like you did, Flower. To me, it's his left hand. And you think I humanise the dog. I know that's what you're thinking. Shut up, I don't. I don't humanise him, I don't. So I took his little waistcoat off and I took him to the vet. Got him all bandaged up and I brought him home. My husband was working away at the time and I thought I should probably ring him, let him know what's going on. So I did and I said, my husband said, what's the matter? I said, the dog's hurt his paw. My husband said, which paw? And I thought, what's the fascination with which paw? It's not like it's the one he writes with. He said it was his left hand. And my husband said, his what? I said, his left hand. He said, ah, you mean front passenger side. The dog sleeps downstairs, his choice, he sleeps on the sofa. And then in the morning when he wakes up, he comes up to our bedroom and every single day he asks permission to get on the bed. He pats the side of the bed with both hands. Go on then. And he jumps up on the bed and sort of little spoons me, kind of lies here like this. It's very sweet. We all fall back to sleep again for another half an hour. It's adorable. The other day though, having fallen back to sleep again, I woke up because he was growling. And I thought, what's he growling at? What's going on here? What had happened, because they're sort of loose in the night, one of me boobs had landed on his head. The dog is very little. My tits are not. Bugger. He's lucky he didn't get caught between them, he'd be dead. I like to break out the board games this time of year. Not long ago I played a game of Jenga with some friends, and a couple of days after that I was talking to my dad on the phone. I thought I'd tell him about it. And then I thought, I don't know if my dad knows what Jenga is. He's in his 70s. I don't know when it first became popular, so I thought I'll ask him. So I said, Dad, do you know what Jenga is? And he said, yeah, like sex. I said, Jenga. He said, sex. I had so many questions and I didn't want any of the answers. I said to him, I said, can I ask which word you think I'm saying? And he said, yeah, gender. I was like, oh, thank Christ for that. I had a horrible idea that that's what him and my mum called it. He tried to pull himself out without toppling her over. A few months ago, I went for a bra fitting. Give us a woo if you've ever been for a bra fitting. Woo! Give us a woo if you did not enjoy it. Woo! Exactly the same people again. It's quite an odd experience, isn't it? I've been touring and asking the women in my audiences what they didn't like about their bra fitting. One lady shouted out, cold hands. That's what she said. I didn't like the cold hands. And I get it, because they have to touch you at various times and cold hands aren't very pleasant to touch, but I had a think about it, and I think I prefer cold hands to warm hands. Warm hands kind of ick me out. Warm hands imply to me that they've been doing this. Ooh.
Ooh, Sheila, I've seen me 10 o'clock, I cannot wait.
was another lady shouted out, I said, what didn't you like about your bra fit? And she said, it was embarrassing. I said, of course it's embarrassing, Flower. But I said, was there one moment that was worse than the rest? She said, oh, yes. When I took my bra off, two bits of popcorn fell out. And one lady shouted out that she thought there were too many mirrors, and I get that. I think there are too many mirrors in those cubicles. Because when I went for mine, the lady said to me,
and would you like to look at the back of the bra?
And I thought, no. And then I thought, I wonder if I'm missing out on something. So I had a look. Turns out I've got back tits as well. I didn't know about those. Thanks for pointing them out, you cow. I'm surprised you didn't try and sell me a bra for the back ones and all. But I'll tell you what happened to me. So every now and again, I have to have a photo shoot. Now, I hate photo shoots. I have really bad body image issues. So a photo shoot for somebody like me is a nightmare, but sometimes they're unavoidable. And I had two in the space of a fortnight, one for the cover of my book and one for the poster for my tour. And I had a lady who's helped me pick some clothes for the photo shoots. And I said to her, look, I don't have the time or indeed the inclination to lose any weight, but I said, could you recommend anything that might make me look a bit better? And she said, go for a bra fit. And she said, a properly fitted bra will knock pounds off you. And I said, how many bras could I wear? From tits, back tits, arse cheeks, maybe? I don't know. The place she recommended to me was, until about 3 months ago, known as the Queen's Bra Fitter, which I find quite an odd boast, don't you?
Oh, we do the Queen's bras. We do the Queen's bras here. Yeah.
I find that such an odd boast. I've never once watched Troop and the Colour on the telly and thought, oh, I wish I had tits like hers. I made an appointment at the place she recommended. I went along to the appointment. I went into the cubicle with the lady I'd made the appointment with, and I took off my top and I had my best bra. And you always wear your best one, don't you? I had my best bra. And that's what I said to the lady. I said, this is my best fitting bra. And she went like this. She said, that's what everyone says. I said, well, maybe that's what everyone means. Like, we didn't hit it off at all. It was eggy from the get-go. She said, what we need to do with those two, like they're separate from my person. What we need to do with those two is lift and separate. Lift. And separate. I said, well, don't separate them too much because that's what it looks like when I'm in bed. The way she was talking, it sounded like she wanted them to look like a travel pillow. She gave me a bra to try on, and I said, well, would you mind stepping out of the cubicle while I put on the bra, and then when I've got it on, I'll shout you back in. She looked utterly perplexed at this. She said, I've been doing this for 30 years. I said, well, I haven't been doing this for 30 years. And then I thought, showing my boobs to strangers, probably a good 25. But I didn't want to add it to my list of people who've seen my tits. There's not that many people on my list, just a handful of blokes and a window cleaner once by accident. So we got a bra that fit, and she tightened up the straps because I had them on comfy setting, you know, where they just sort of graze your belly. Oh, I love that. Thank God I've got a belly, otherwise I'd hit the deck. But she tightened up the straps to where they're supposed to be, and then she put one finger under the strap at the top. She put one finger underneath and she said, this is the rule, you're supposed to be able to only get one finger under the strap. And then she looked at me for a response. I don't know why I said the following, but when she said, one finger, that's the rule, one finger, I said, oh, that's interesting, because it's two for a dog's collar. Why the fuck did I say that? To make it worse, I then said, are you trying to stop me from losing my boobs in the park? Why am I still talking? Shut up! But there was one lady, and I asked her, why didn't you let your bra fit? And she was an older lady, and she said, when I took my bra off, my boobs went down like that, so they just measured me waist. Another lady said, I didn't like it because I didn't know the etiquette, and I took my bra off too early. How does that work? Was she still on the bloody bus? I was in hospital last Christmas, not for very long, not for anything serious. They gave me one of those gowns, you know, that doesn't quite shut at the back. And then she said, the next thing we need from you is a urine sample. Give us a woo if you've ever given a urine sample. Give us a woo, those of you who are women. It's tricky, isn't it? It's tricky. She gave me a bottle with a neck like that. And I thought, well, I'll wait till she brings the funnel. No funnel came. And I thought, how am I supposed to hit that with me twin jets? Now, I don't want to tell you too much about me down there. Suffice to say, it's not a 70s bush by any means, but it's also not child bald. Put it this way, there's just enough hair to put a paedophile off. Still made this quite tricky. So I put it in position. I started me wee. We came out of a different area. I stopped me wee. I moved into that area. I started me wee again. We came out of a third area. It's like somebody was pouring juice through a hedge. I felt like I was on the cube. And then she said, the next thing we need to know is what size you are for the DVT tights, you know, the sort of stockings you put on after you've had surgery. I said, okay. She came along with a variety of sizes. She said, we'll start with a size small. And I thought, oh, somebody's got time to kill. I'm a large, personally. But I tried the small on, and they fit. I'm a small in hospital. I must have had such an odd expression on my face. Because she said, are you all right? And I just went, why aren't you a shop? And then she gave me the paper knickers. You know the paper knickers they make you wear? My husband said, I find them quite sexy. I said, do you? Why? He said, I think I could rip them off. Just so you know, if you do a fart in them, same thing happens. Are you well? I'm glad I'm also well. I had a migraine a few weeks ago. I don't get them often enough to worry about, but I do get them every now and again. And I thought I'll go on Twitter. I'll ask people on Twitter how they get rid of their migraines. Give us a cheer if you are on Twitter. I got the usual sort of expected responses, and then my favourite one came up, and it said, 2 Nurofen and a wank. And it totally worked. If anything, it just pushed the throbbing down a bit. Thanks, at Boots the Chemist. About a year ago, I had a sore throat for a bit too long. I went to see my doctor. My doctor said I'm going to send it to see a specialist, an ear, nose and throat specialist. I said, OK. So off I got to see this fella, lovely fella he was. He said to me, do you suffer from acid reflux? And I said, no. And then when I got home, I realised I should have said yes, because my husband and I eat so many Rennies that we call them bathroom sweets. He said, I need to take Gaviscon after every meal. I said, after every meal, every time I've eaten, because those two are very different numbers. He said, what I'd like to do is put a camera down your throat so we can have a proper look at what we're dealing with. I said, OK. And I thought, this is a bit where he sends me away and I come back in 6 months with a new appointment. And he went, no, we can do that now. Oh, shit. So you've got this contraption, metal like this and metal like this. You need to know, the main thing you need to know is that it's very rigid. None of it moves, so I had to move because it wouldn't move. And he put it down my throat and I instantly gagged. And he pulled it out and he said, are you going to be OK with this? And I went, yes. Back in. I was mortified. He said, do me a favour, the next time you think you're going to gag, do this. I said, why? He said, it stops you gagging. And I thought, noted. My husband's going to think he's being sucked off by a Geordie pensioner. Might be. No, I meant that way, pensioners. I don't mean like for a present. Coming in, Doris is ready for his gift now. Happy birthday to me. I've got pets. I've got 2 cats and a dog. I'll tell you about those. My cats, they don't always get on. Sometimes they kind of chase each other, looks a little bit aggressive. So what I do to kind of break that up, to kind of distract them, is we use a laser pen. You will have seen these. So the cats will be chasing each other around, then one or both of them will become transfixed by a little red dot that has appeared on the ceiling or the walls or the floor. And it's so effective that we've started using it in our own relationship. So I'll be saying something like, all I want you to do when you finish with your wet towels is put them in the... But whenever you introduce a new cat into a household that already has a cat, there's always a bit of aggro while they work out the hierarchy, then it settles down. The day I knew our two were going to be okay with each other was the day that I walked into our bedroom and they were lying on the bed like that. They weren't quite spooning, but it was good enough for me. I try getting behind them. Big mama spoon's getting on. I'll be the ladle. I don't know what that means. After about 2 minutes, it was utter perfection. And then Brodie leaned over to Ripley, the little girl cat, and just started licking her arsehole. Don't don't think Mama's phone's supposed to be here for this, but she was brilliant, though. She was lying with her legs shut like that. As soon as he started licking her arse, she went, ah, that's lovely. I turned 41 this year. I like being in my 40s. Gives a cheer if you're 40 and above. I like it. I don't give a shit about unimportant things anymore. I think that's what it boils down to. Quite a few things changed when I turned 40 last year. One of the things that changed is that I've stopped sniffing me leggings. I used to sniff them to see if I could get another day out of them. Whereas now, I just assume that I can. But I read on a proper form, a proper official document recently, the term women's problems. And I thought, in 2016, really, it says women's problems. And I thought, why doesn't it just say periods or menstruation? There's nothing wrong with those words. Just say it's nothing wrong with the actual thing. It's perfectly normal. It's natural. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's part of life. Seems peculiar to me. So I've decided to do, and you can come with me if you like, I've decided to bypass the word periods if people find it so offensive, and I'm going to say this instead. So somebody says to me, are you all right? I'm going to go, ugh, I'm clotting. Periods are really horrible. It's such a bad reflection of how normal it is. So if clotting horrifies you, I get it. So I made up another one. This is a bit lighter, a bit more playful. Perhaps this will appeal to you more. This is it. It's WY week because I'm making jam. Do you get it? Do you get it? Some of you are more horrified by that than you were by clotting. And I think I have ruined afternoon teas for everyone. Sorry about that. But I read a really good statistic that said that 67% of women, so two-thirds of women, don't bath or shower every day. And my first reaction, because I bath or shower every day, my first reaction was, that's disgusting. My second reaction was to start sniffing my friends. And my third reaction was, well, if they're not doing it, I'm not going to do it. Mostly bath or shower every day, but every now and again, if I'm running late, I've got an early appointment, or I've slept in, anything like that, I'll do instead what my mum would refer to as a flannel job. Now, this is a good tip for the women in the room who do have pubic hair. The next time you do a flannel job, if you do it in a circular motion, you can afro it right up. It's really fun. A bouffant to go on, if you like. That's not a joke. That's just a tip for you to take home and try. In a room of this size, at least be like 40 or 50 women tomorrow morning and be like, I'm gonna give it a go. Massive pants. Oh, yeah. I went for a massage. Give us a cheer if you've ever been for a massage. I don't like it. I like the bit at the end where I feel all floppy and relaxed. That bit where I'm like, I might never wear a bra again. I don't like the actual activity itself. I feel very uncomfortable being in front of a stranger just in my pants. So what happens is I book the massage. I get so stressed and tense on the build-up to the massage that the best she can do at the massage is get me back down to the level of stress I was at before I booked the massage. One thing they do in those appointments that I don't like is when they teach you how to breathe. They do that, don't they? Like, I'm 41. The breathing's been going pretty well, thanks. But they do that, don't they? They go, and breathe in. And breathe out. I could have died. If I'd waited for her. The last massage I had, she said, this is an aromatherapy massage. I said, that's correct. She said, I've got three different oils. I want you to smell each one. Pick the one you like the best and we'll use that one. I said, champion. She unscrewed the lid off the first one. She wafted it in front of my nose. I said, is that eucalyptus? Eucalyptus, is it? Eucalyptus, like a menthol, like a menthol. Is it menthol? Is it menthol? Is it menthol? Is it like a mint? Is it mint? Is it mint? Is it mint? Is it mint? She said, you don't have to guess what it is. She wafted in front of my nose and said, is that lemon? Is it lemon? Is it lemon? Is it lemon? Is it like a citrus? 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 Like a general sort of citrus? Is it grapefruit? Is it grapefruit? She said, it's not a quiz. Third one, she wafted it in front of my nose. I did like it, but I didn't know what it was. And I said, I'll have that one. She said, good. She read the label on the bottle. She said, that's happy. And I thought, no, I was never going to win the quiz, was I? Now, my worst bit of a massage is a bit in a full-body massage where they make you turn over on the table, because the tables are very narrow, and I am not. They do these all the time. towel up, don't they, so you can flubber over in private. Or so I thought. The last one I had, she held the towel up, I flubbered over. I was almost in position when our eyes locked in the mirrored wall at the end of the room. My friend said to me, that's not my worst bit of a massage. I said, what's your worst bit? She said, I don't like the bit where they pull your knickers down a little bit. I said, well, they'd have to do that with me, otherwise they wouldn't get half me back. But I went for a massage with a friend of mine, and we were in the waiting area, and the woman came out and she said, ladies, just to let you know that on staff today we have a male massage therapist, and I was wondering if either of you would mind. And my friend went, I'll have him. I said, look, you're single, you can always have the bloke if you want, but just let her finish her question first. Maybe leave it a second and then say, I suppose I don't mind, rather than, I'll have him. She came out of this massage with this huge beaming smile on her face. I said, was it a good massage? She said, oh, yeah. I said, that's good. She said, I felt his erection. And we take turns to pay, and it was my turn. I thought, I'm not paying if she's on extras. So you felt his erection? She said, yes, on me elbow. Now, I don't know what your elbows are like, but mine is like rhino skin. I can't push to tell hot from cold with mine. That would be an excellent game show, wouldn't it?
Cock or not? Cock or not?
One thing I don't like, and this might come across overly mean, I hope it doesn't, but it might come across that way. I don't like a skinny massage therapist. The one I use at the moment is about my size, maybe a little bit bigger. I don't like the skinny ones. They've never said anything to me. But in my mind, when they're massaging me, they're doing this. I'm gonna need more time. It's a bigger surface area. And the whole time I've been massaged, there's an inner monologue going on up here. Outside, I'm the picture of composure, but in here, it's going crazy. And it depends on where she starts. So if she starts at the bottom, I'll be like, oh, tickly feet. Oh, she's gone up to the bit. I've got broken veins. I don't like that bit. Oh, too close to me, Fanny. So I'm lying there, covered in happy. Very different version of Snow White than we're used to, yes? And the massage ends. And she did what they always do. She put on like a chocolatey voice. They always do this, don't they? And she said, just relax. There's plenty of time. There's no need for you to rush. Please just stay relaxed. There's so much time. I just want you to stay relaxed. There's no need for it. Please just stay relaxed. What she didn't know is that I'd been dying for a fart for 40 minutes. The door had barely clicked shut when I let out the loudest, most tromboniest fart you've ever heard in your life. Remember, I was covered in oil. Like the Salvation Army band had popped in. And I'm right in the middle of potentially the best fart of my life when she came back in with a glass of water. And I half expected her to go, is that curry? Is it 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 curry? And if she had, I'd have gone, no love. That's happy.